Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi there. I'm Lara Marie Shane Halls. Welcome to Lohan Island, a sexy, unique spin-off. Hey, everyone.
Hi.
It's me back. And Carrie.
Carrie O'Donnell.
It's Carrie O'Donnell coming to you live from my couch.
In Mykonos.
And we have a new celebrity crush.
We were just Googling Prince Philip.
Who, like, if you want to get...
We're on a royal kick the last episode.
We love the royals.
But if you want to, like, full body chills...
If you want to fear for your life...
Just Google image Prince Philip. Look, I'm not knocking...
Look, aging
geriatric
sucks, and I respect those the elderly.
I respect those who just let it all hang out.
Yeah, and I love their wisdom. Yeah, and but Prince Philip,
he looks like
a Stephen King.
He looks like the guy on Poltergeist too.
He does, the elevator guy. He literally is a walking demon. He also got in like a huge car accident recently.
I know. Like, he was driving on the grounds.
He drove and then
he, like, hit a woman.
Hit a woman, flipped his Range Rover over. I was like, surely.
And survived.
I was like, surely he's dead. And they're like, the Daily Mail's like, survived with merely a scratch.
And then he was like, I'm sorry, he's I won't like, drive.
He killed a woman. They
he
were like,
promised he wouldn't drive anymore.
Like,
what is he driving for?
Who watched him get behind the wheel? Like, does he come in and he goes, I'm gonna go for a drive now? And then everyone's like, okay, have fun.
I mean, I think in that household, like, the Queen and Prince Philip's word is like,
they haven't spoken to each other in years.
No, but I don't think that you can be like, no, Prince Philip, you can't, like, as a staff. So, like, if he's like, I want to go for a jaunt in my Rolls Royce, you have to be like, or in my Range Rover, you have to be like, okay.
All right. You put like a Amber Alert out to like that anyone within like a 4 mile radius to get off the fucking road because he's going to come plow into you. But he, like, flipped his car.
I know.
He got in like a Sopranos level car accident.
He caught a glimpse of himself in the mirror and went, oh!
They've hidden all the mirrors in the palace because they can't like scare him with his own reflection. So they... so, he truly is not the one.
He used to be really hot. So, like, it's just like, you know what? It's just, it's very humbling to see him. Look at him.
All gonna be Prince Philip one day.
I was just saying, I feel like that photo of Prince Philip that we were both looking at, mm-hmm. like Prince Philip now, is how I feel when I'm watching Lohan Beach Club.
Yeah.
Just like,
I love
oxygen deprived, dark circles under my eyes. Cause that's why you get circles.
Why?
When you sleep, if you're not getting enough oxygen.
Oh, so like if you snore heavy time?
Like okay. If you have apnea.
If you snore heavy time?
He's definitely a snorer.
He suffers from raging sleep apnea.
The queen is like, you have to sleep in like the other quarter.
He has like a breathing machine at night, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he's 97 or something.
He's unkillable.
He's as old as Lindsay is.
I love also... being able to get in a car accident where you hit someone else and then no one questions you and they're just like, all right, now we'll sweep this up and you'll get back to the palace you go. Like, no one is like,
back to the ground.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, Caitlyn Jenner killed two people.
When you're rich, you literally can just like commit vehicular manslaughter.
Caitlyn Jenner killed two people on the PCH.
Yeah.
And like, is like living, laughing, loving.
She's living in Malibu. And, like, trying to protect her house from burning down in the summers. She paid a small fine and then was like, anyways, off I go to Elton John's Oscar party. Like, she's a murderess.
I feel like Ira Madison or someone really good on, like, some hilarious person. Caitlin a few years ago was, like, tweeting about driving or something. And Ira was like, sis... don't tweet while driving, or like it was. I have to find it. It was something so good.
She is a menace.
She's a menace to LA.
She's a fucking menace on the road. Is she still allowed to drive?
Yes,
I love that.
She's like 5,000 cars. She killed two people in one swoop. She killed two birds with one stone. She killed two birds with one SUV.
I'm honestly like,
and she just was like, sorry.
I love that. There's like photos of her have like car insurance.
There's like photos of her on the PCH being like,
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? I gotta get to.
It's crazy out here.
I have to go golfing.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I gotta go. Like,
I gotta get to the polls. The polls are closing soon.
I gotta go vote.
I have to vote against my own interests.
I have to go vote against my own interests and.
I need to go vote sell out for my own known homophobe. Sell out all of my supporters, the people that have gotten me through this tough time. Sorry I killed a couple people.
Sorry I killed two family members on the PCH in a fiery crash.
What if you're, and like, God forbid, but what if your parents got killed by Caitlyn Jenner? I would not stay silent.
I would spend my waking life getting my revenge.
I need a podcast, like a deep dive.
About the murder?
Gladiator style podcast about Caitlyn Jenner fucking
vehicular murder?
Committing vehicular homicide. A double homicide.
I like how you called her a murderess.
She is a murderess.
There's a lot of there's a whole... I love
celebrities that have killed.
We're going to do a new podcast called Celebrities Who've Shot People in the Arm.
We're a podcast called You're Killing It. And it's just a podcast about celebrities murdering people. So what we just cut out of the podcast was a whole list of celebrities that have killed people or shot people. But you should definitely Google it. I'm sure.
Starting with Caitlyn Jenner's
double vehicular manslaughter homicide.
Which she completely got off scot-free.
If I drove and killed two people with my car, I would go to jail, never come out. I would never drive again. That's the last you would hear from me.
Never drive again? You'd never... be in public again.
Yeah, because I would be incarcerated.
You'd be incarcerated for 50 years.
But when you're Caitlyn Jenner,
when you have literally millions of dollars,
kill two people and then like shrug and get back to
voting for Trump. She has to get to the poll.
Like literally no one cares.
Well,
except like the victims' families. Yeah. I'm sure, I guess they hopefully got like a great payday out of that. But you can't like, nothing buys life again.
Well, maybe sometimes.
Maybe. Prince Philip is just like careening into people, flipping the Rover.
Speaking of the Elton John Oscars party that Caitlin was on her way to.
Yeah.
The Oscars were this past weekend. Gaga won best song.
Gaga won best song, deserved,
that
obviously.
That performance was like...
That was it. That was the only thing you needed to tune into the Oscars for.
I think that might have been the best live song performance ever.
I was having flashbacks of Gwyneth's performance, which was not so great, but oh. I still... She performed Country Strong.
They got nominated for an Oscar?
The song did.
Really?
Yeah. Or Coming Home.
Remember when she did...
It's a four-letter word. Yeah, I love that.
I love it when we're cruising together. Music was made for love. Made for love. I love it when we're cruising together. But Gaga and Bradley were basically like fucking on stage. And
yeah.
Irina Shayk was just like...
Irina Shayk.
Is that her name? Is that how you say it?
I think it's Shake.
Irina Shayk was
But I like Irina Shayk.
She was shanking in the first
Gaga
row.
Gaga was literally giving Bradley like a slow HJ on stage
yeah.
as they crooned into each other's necks and like sniffed each other.
They like spit into each other's mouths.
They literally became one... body yeah. with two heads and one soul.
They were
with
like
the same beating heart.
Absolutely. They were like the Siamese twins on Adam's Family.
And she just had to sit there and smile.
I mean,
that's fine.
She's like, my husband's getting
she's like,
richer from this.
Whatever. I bet she gets like a yearly payment, like direct deposited into her bank account for just like
Gaga.
Shank. to just like smile and pretend like everything's fine in public.
Yeah,
at
I mean
events.
There's been a lot of like a lot of people were tweeting about like some people were saying that it was inappropriate and that if and I was like, you know,
okay,
they're acting.
A performance. Yeah. Like it's not like real life. It's not like we caught them Kristen Stewart style like on a hike in a full embrace. They
right.
were literally had to perform a song where they played from the movie where they played two lovers.
I think it was just an extension of Ali and Jackson.
I think it was beautiful.
I did too.
I find nothing offensive or wrong with it.
I get such friend vibes from them. Like, I don't think that they're...
I think they're just like allies.
Yeah. I mean...
They're tight.
I'm not going to say what I'm
going to
say.
They're a tight-knit family.
I'm not going to say what I want to say, but
I've said it.
But I think... I think that I feel confident that they're not... attracted to each other.
I feel like they
I
just,
think they're attracted to each other's souls. They're like creative soulmates.
Yeah.
And it's really intense. And they went through something really intense together.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie shifted culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that song deserved everything it got.
Yeah.
And whatever.
That song deserved a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Like
a Cece DeVille.
Done.
We're doing it.
You know what I didn't realize?
Cece DeMille.
Cece DeVille.
DeVille.
You're like a Cruella DeVille award. that
Cecil,
too.
Cecil, isn't it Cecil?
Cecil B. DeMille.
Cecil B. DeMille. Sorry.
Is
everyone.
That it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So someone said that someone like tweeted like a list of the people that were shunned from the In Memoriam, which always is like interesting to me.
Carol Channing.
I couldn't believe that Vern Troyer was not only shunned from it, but also I didn't realize that he had died. So that was a doubly harsh realization day.
He died
for
like
me.
Early last year, I think.
Yeah, but he was like cinematic gold. I mean, like
The Surreal Life.
Yeah,
I mean him steering his scooter into the wall while drunk, and then them having to like put him to bed.
Himself, I
yeah.
think. Yeah.
He had a hard time.
He had a hard life, but like also Mike Myers was there. Wasn't he at the award show? Didn't he and Dana
yeah,
Carvey like present together?
Yeah, they presented fucking Best Picture. Like, you know how they do like, here's the Best Picture nominee.
Yeah.
They did Bohemian Rhapsody because of Wayne's
oh,
World.
Oh, God, yeah.
But he could have been like, hey, maybe if I
would
come.
Do this if you honor Vern.
They didn't honor him. They didn't honor Carol Channing.
That's wild.
Which is really crazy. They didn't honor like a few other big people. Whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, that it was a weird... I was so maxed out on my award. I think I just feel like there this year especially, there were just too many awards, even though it's the same amount as last year.
It just felt like so many awards and for what? Like the only thing I wanted to see win anything is
Shallow
and also like A Star Is Born. So if you're not going to like really like do that, I'm not interested. I mean, certainly not interested in any Bohemian Rhapsody, anything.
I have not seen it. I will not support a movie that is made by a man who has ruined
lives.
The lives of several gay men.
Yeah.
Many gay men. Allegedly.
I'm not doing it either. And right. I also am like, I think that the Queen opening sucked.
Yeah. It was, I mean,
I'm not into it.
I love when they cut to Gaga and she was like trying to like pump Adam up.
Yeah.
In the crowd. But it was just a weird, I mean, there were some people like, I was happy who won, but overall it was like, I just don't care anymore.
Mm-mm.
I don't care.
What's there to care about? There's nothing. People don't even wear that amazing of outfits anymore. Like, what is fun?
The only good part, the best part was that moment, that gif of Glenn. Have you seen that on her on the red carpet? Mm-hmm. I think she's looking at Billy Porter from Poses and my amazing Christian Siriano getup. Mm-hmm. And it's like slow-mo, but he's talking to an interview and you see her behind him and she goes, like she has this long drawn out, she's just admiring his look from behind.
I love that.
And it was a real Glenn moment. And it's sad that she didn't win. Olivia was amazing and she deserved it, but
yeah. I'm happy for Olivia.
I know, but you were like, come on, like,
I didn't watch The Wife yet.
I'll watch it.
I love, like, no watch, just want her to win.
There are several movies that I just know I'll never watch.
Yeah.
I'll never watch Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'll never watch that either.
Even
though I had a moment yesterday where I did falter and I was like, do I want to watch it?
I actually had that moment too.
It's hard, but then I'm like,
it's like,
can
a plane,
I watch it for free?
Is it a plane movie?
Maybe. I think it needs to be a watch for free. Like, I'm not going to buy it.
I'm not going
to
pay money.
I won't pay money, but if someone wants to send me a DVD of it, or like I could borrow a screener, I might watch it. But I'm not making any promises. And I'm not saying I'll watch the whole thing.
I think I have the screener.
I love us just going completely back.
Yeah.
On our word.
We're
going to
watch it.
We're watching it tonight. Yeah. We're going to have a watch party.
A Star Is Born is coming back into theaters.
Chic.
So.
I'm in.
We'll be seeing it again.
I want to see it in 3D.
I want to see it in 4DX.
I want to see it with like whatever the movie theater is that pumps like smells out.
I saw The Meg in 4DX.
Does that do smells?
They did. They were spraying water at you. And
they
like,
shake your
seats. They shake your seats. I saw The Predator in it.
Was it cool?
I mean, it made the movie better. The yeah. Meg was legit a good movie.
I will respectfully disagree with you.
I loved it. I think 4DX is... I thought it was like, oh, this is going to be like a hokey, distracting gimmick. But it actually immersed you in the Meg.
It felt real.
I was like in the Meg.
You felt like you were being chased by the Meg.
Yeah, I was like on the boat, being sprayed by the Meg and chomped.
I want to see The Shallows...
In
4DX, but with when like Blake has her incredible like surfing sequence,
her like
take the music out when they like just have face tuned like a mm-hmm. face onto her head, and then replace it with like a dance version of
In the Shallow.
Yeah,
the shallow.
I'm on the deep end. I'm on the deep end.
I'll never. I'm on another watch as I dive in. I'll hit the ground. That's on the surface where they can handle the shallow. You see Blake like
it's just like her with like a yeah. Snapchat filter face on her.
I loved
surfing.
How they did
that. That was incredible.
That was almost as amazing as when Margot Robbie's face was
just like Snapchatted on Tanya, onto Tanya Harding's yeah. body, or like a skater's body.
The Shallows was incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing.
We've already talked about
this. We've really talked about it a lot. We keep coming back to Blake.
Where's she been?
We can't quit her.
If I can't quit Blake.
I wish that she was in award season.
She will be.
Let's hope.
Let's fucking hope. I mean, A Simple Favor was legit good.
I will also respectfully disagree with that.
Okay.
We seem to not see eye to eye on many things except for the most important things.
Gaga.
Which is Gaga, and Caitlyn Jenner murdering people.
and
Lindsay Lohan.
And not watching Bohemian Rhapsody.
Life Raft. Yeah, and not watching Bohemian Rhapsody, but kind of watching it.
But like maybe watching
but like
it.
Like maybe there might be a chance that I would watch it one day. Should we talk about
this
previously?
This is the weirdest. I keep saying it every podcast, but like this episode, this season has just gotten darker and darker.
It's fully delved into just like utter madness. Yeah, where do we, no where can you go from here?
Episode 9.
I thought that we had reached maybe the end of this journey.
No.
I think with every passing week, I keep thinking it's the end. And I, the fuck was that? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh! Can we talk about that?
Yeah,
we just
well,
had while we were just discussing how dark Lindsay's gotten,
like a literal fly crawled out of my staircase and like
swarmed
the apartment.
And when I say a fly, I say
like a huge
Volkswagen
beast
with wings. That's what it looked like, a car.
It literally was like came out of nowhere.
And I delicately crushed it with your curtain.
Yeah. Carrie, his reflexes, he goes, I got it, and then just killed it with his bare hands, and then picked it up by one of its legs, and then just dropped it daintily outside. My savior.
I usually just, if an animal, if I see like a bug or something, I'll like throw it out instead of kill it, but a fly, I'm like, sorry.
I hate flies. They actually terrify. Did you see me when I heard the buzz? I knew. I was like, I can't handle a fly.
What the fuck is that?
I can't handle flies.
But how did it come out of your staircase?
I don't know.
What
flies
the fuck is going
terrorize
on
me. And normally I will just like open the door and usher a fly out into the world, because I can't have any sort of like physical interaction with it. Like flies creep me the fuck out.
I've actually gotten in the last few years really, I know this sounds like bullshit, but I've gotten really like, I don't want to kill any like
yeah,
bugs,
same.
But flies or bees, I'm like, bye. Bees are already out their way on the way out.
You're going to start a lot of problems with bee lovers.
Oh my God.
Including me. I'm a bee.
I'm talking about hornets.
Yeah.
Wasps.
Wasps are no.
Bumblebees, I'm like, honey, you do that. I
and
want you to live.
I'm like,
oh no, they can like sit on my face. A wasp or a hornet?
No,
is
get the fuck out.
Pazuzu.
Yeah.
It's the exorcist demon of the wind, of the south winds.
They look
west
so
winds.
Scary.
They are alien demon vampires.
Why do they have to look so terrifying?
I don't know. There
and
was a
then sting on top of that.
There was a hornet's nest outside my window last year or 2 years ago.
Outside of your apartment?
Outside of my apartment. Catty corner, like on the gutter. There
no.
was a hornet's nest. And I took a can of Raid and I sprayed it 5 feet across and they all fell out.
I wish I had a video footage of that, like from the street, of just a bystander being like, what is this guy doing? I love that.
Yeah. No, I wasn't talking about bumblebees or the bees that are good. I'm talking
the
about
honeybees, yeah.
I'm talking about
like yellow, like meat bees.
Yeah.
Do you know that there are bees that eat meat? Is that not the most disgusting thing you've ever heard?
It's like man eating pigs.
A meat bee. Think about that, everyone. I've seen a bee.
Lindsay's seen them.
Land on my plate of nachos and eat beef off of a nacho.
You're lying.
I'm not. I was in Catalina. Catalina's amazing. I was just trying to like lay on the beach. I was literally at like a beach house, like a Lohan beach house of Catalina, and just trying to have some rosé and nachos. And then this meat bee kept landing on my nachos and literally eating beef off of my nacho chips.
Like,
like being like with its pinchers. It ate meat.
That is
a bee landed on my plate of nachos and ate beef. Just think about that.
Where does it go?
Then I don't know, back to the hive to tell more of its like family that and friends and loved ones that there's a plate of meaty nachos. Like I've never known
that is
such horror.
Up. If I walked in on a several bees eating like a steak. I think that is the most jarring thing I can imagine.
Google meat bees.
Do they have like nom, nom, nom,
they
nom.
Have mouths. No. And they crawl on
No. Stop.
And they eat it. And then
That
if you just, make them mad, then they can sting you.
No, that just really, really freaked me out.
It's fucked
that
up.
That defy like for me, insects can only eat plants and like
they honey. Absolutely love meat.
But knowing it just feels unnatural and it feels wrong.
It's disgusting.
It feels like it's going against God's plan. Why?
I don't know.
The meat bees of Avalon Catalina.
The term meat bees is terrifying, but when you see a meat bee in action,
you'll know.
On your own nacho,
do you think
no longer a relaxing beach today.
I'm so
a beach a day.
I'm so sorry that you witnessed that, and I'm
thank you.
Confident that there are meat bees on Mykonos.
There's fully. I feel like Lindsay lives next to like meat bee colonies that come and swarm. Like when you order like ahi tuna nachos, a meat bee immediately lands on them.
There's a meat bee hive like nearby Lindsay's villa, and she sort of has weaponized
them.
No, she just kind of keeps it like a pet now,
mm-hmm.
and she like throws. She'll throw like a steak at night, and by the morning it's gone.
Yeah,
and she sort of like has low key like started worshiping it.
It's under her personal cabana.
Yeah,
so like where she sometimes goes to hide out and spy on the VIP ambassadors is also a huge nest of meat bees, and she feeds them. She has their daily feeding.
Yeah, and it's sort of become like a god concept to her.
Yeah, she worships the queen bee. And she sees herself in the queen, and the queen says, do my bidding. The queen started talking to Lindsay and telling her things, and now Lindsay is under the queen meat bee's control.
We thought it was the sea witch, DJ, but it's all along been a giant pulsating meat bee.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a queen meat bee looks like? Probably like, have you ever seen like a queen bee? They're just like fat.
They're huge.
Gelatinous.
They live to be served.
They live to be served and... birth,
yeah,
and breed
and kill
and killed and they
and be protected.
Do you know they can like, do you know they declare war on other hives,
yeah,
and take them as slaves,
yeah,
and then kill the rest.
Mm-hmm. Now Lindsay is under the queen meat bee's control.
It's like the deep.
Yeah,
she's being controlled by a hive of meat bees.
You think that she saved that lobster, but no. Really she was
preserving it
to later feed it to the queen meat bee.
That's where everyone who's got kicked off the show goes.
Yeah, they get driven in the van where they tell them like, okay Kayla, get in the van, we're gonna go to the airport now. And they like drive past the exit of the airport, and Kayla's like, where are we going?
Are
we going back to the club? And they're like, oh yeah, we just have to drop something off at the club. Like,
it's like Adriana and the Sopranos.
Yeah. They're like, it'll be fine. Don't worry, Kayla. And then they're like, will you come here for a second? And they lead her over to Lindsay's cabana, and she's like, what are we doing here? And they're like, oh, Mike left his like bandana over here, so will you just grab it? It's underneath like the cabana.
Keep going,
crawl. And she keep goes going. In here, and they go, yeah, crawl
fully go in there.
She goes, they don't see anything under here. Can I have a flashlight? And they're like, no, you'll see it.
And she goes, I hear this noise. Is there like a generator down here or something? She goes, yeah. And they go, Kayla, just go further. Just go further. Keep
just
pressing.
Crawl. If you crawl on your elbows, get under the cabana, and then you see just her legs kind of sticking out.
And then Kayla presses down, and the ground becomes really soft and gooey. And she picks her hand up and she goes, oh! And she hears, and the swarm gets louder, and she starts going, ah, there's bees! And her whole hand sinks into the honey of the hive.
Yeah.
And she becomes fully trapped in the meat hive. And she looks over and she sees Jules, who's become like a human meat hive.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks over and goes, it's okay.
Yeah.
She goes, just let it happen.
Jules says, just let it happen.
Let it happen.
My cold finally went away.
Yeah, we are with, she goes, I am of the bees. Let them come upon you, she says. And Kayla goes, no, let me out.
They please, go, please,
and they
please.
See, and they see the
and Jules
door.
Is like, the more you fight, the more it hurts.
Yeah.
And then she just like rolls over.
Yeah. And then Kayla just sees the door closing the light and she makes one final grasp with the light and then it closes and she's in total darkness.
Yeah. And then like you may think that they survived and that we're lying because Jules and Kayla are still like out and about tweeting and like talking about their podcast.
Geotagging.
But I will tell you this, is that they are literal just bee people now.
Yeah. They're like, they are in fully in the hive.
They're in the hive and they work for one queen only, and that's Lindsay. And the queen bee said, like, if you worship me, I too will give you slaves.
Yeah.
And it will be your own VIP ambassadors. VIB ambassadors.
Yeah, they do chores, they do errands for the they're like drones in the hive and mm-hmm. they just serve the meaty queen.
Yeah.
We need help. Wait, they have podcasts?
Kayla has a podcast coming out.
Oh god.
I'm like, honey, we've heard enough. Like, love you, but enough is enough.
Anyway.
Seems like anyone can have a podcast these days. Am I right?
The Meat Bee Queen has a podcast.
I'm going to start a podcast called Meat Bees.
Meat Bees.
And it's just facts about meat bees.
I'm horrified.
Yeah.
So this episode was all about Kayla.
The cast opens by talking about what a great opportunity it is to be working at Lindsay Lohan's beach club.
Yeah.
Which, like, they are the bee drones because that it is not, it's an opportunity to get crippling mono, to be sent home, to get jet lag,
to be really confused,
eaten by meat bees
and confused.
Yeah. And confused
and traumatized by a child star.
Yeah. I said, like, these people on the show are all trauma victims who are going to need therapy to understand what it is that they went through.
Well, so we come in on, Mike is really sad about Jules. This episode's about Kayla, but it's really about Mike.
It's about Mike and his
struggle with his sexuality.
Yeah. And which he's really, very real.
He's really bummed about Jules gone. He's like, I was just starting to form a connection with her and now she's gone. And I feel like no one really gets me and that she was like the only person that really accepted my sexuality.
Yeah.
And they come in on like a staff meeting and Panos... They come in and they go, Panos, how are you? And he goes, fine.
Fine.
Fine. And he goes to Kayla, why are you so calmed downed today?
Calmed downed today.
He goes, are you hunged over? Are you hunged over? And Kayla goes, yeah.
Parnos
is like, are you hunged over? And Kayla is like, yeah, I might be. Because
Kayla spent the previous night getting shit-faced and calling her dad, who told her that next time her boss speaks to her, she should tell her boss to go suck a dick.
Well, okay, so
and
last...
she spent the whole night talking shit about Lindsay.
We also were on last episode, we talked about how Kayla was, like, berated on the yacht with Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
And this week, an article in Page Six came out that Kayla claimed...
This is when she said that she was having her podcast.
Kayla claimed that on the yacht that she was, like, she and Lindsay kind of started really hating each other.
Yeah.
Lindsay locked her in a shower.
Yeah.
In the bathroom of the yacht and wouldn't let her out.
Yeah. So when they got to the yacht, Lindsay was like, let's shower, come with me. Yeah. And then locked her in the shower.
Kayla claimed that she was on drugs like the whole time.
She's been, Lindsay personally terrorized this woman.
She locked her in a bathroom and like she was being erratic. And that's why that yacht moment seems so bizarre, because Lindsay was not okay.
Because Kayla was literally trying to come out of the trauma of just having, imagine Lindsay Lohan locking you in a confined space
and then having to like smile for the cameras and pretend like you're okay with your boss.
Like, can't you sue for that? I guess they probably sign away like any right to sue anyone on if you're going on this show.
I think they were on like international waters too.
Yeah, that's why Lindsay took them to the yacht,
because she's like, out here,
maritime law.
Out here, maritime law.
Is that what maritime law is?
This law, this is my sea.
This is Lindsay, my sea.
The law has
boat.
My boat. My rules. So I'm going to lock my employee in the bathroom and frighten her.
I'm going to lure this girl. I don't like her. So I'm going to lure her out to the open sea on a yacht with two other guys so that she feels safe. But then I'm going to get her alone, take a shower with her in our swimsuits, and then lock her in the shower.
Was she playing a prank?
I think, like,
she's so impulsive.
She's so impulsive. There's no impulse control.
Like, I think she probably, like,
I mean, we know she's unwell because we saw the plate of food that she made. I will never not be able to picture Lindsay just, like, pouring ketchup on buns and then crinkling up a bunch of chips and sprinkling them, like, a light dusting of, like, Maldon sea salt.
And she goes,
she uses chips as, like, a salt garnish.
She goes, this is what we call Italiano.
Italiano. I'm Italian. And but, you hear Kayla, like, a muffled scream coming from somewhere. And that's the person that Lindsay is just locked in the shower.
It's like the Chokey in Matilda.
What do you
How long was she in the shower?
Yeah. I'm confused.
I think she was, Lindsay locked her in the shower for, like, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's Panos is the case against Kayla has already been, you know, Lindsay has already spearheaded a campaign against Kayla.
Yeah.
She's slowly getting everyone to turn on her. Panos is, like, obviously in on it.
Yeah.
He'll just do whatever
Panos
Lindsay
knows
says.
Better than to, like, fight Lindsay yeah. on anything.
So they're talking about Pride is coming up.
Pride's coming up. There's a drag queen that's coming to the beach house for the day ahead of Pride just to, like, hang out.
Get a lay of the land. Her name is Gloria Darling.
Gloria Darling's coming, and Aristotle is assigned to, like, tend to her.
Parnas is like, we're going to treat her like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
Aristotle, I think you'll be the best one for this. Brent is not okay with this.
No, Brent is shaming Ari and keeps insisting that he's, like, secretly gay.
Yeah.
So he's, like, bullying him actively.
He reminds the camera that Ari washed the feet of Lakis, the ex fashion designer, and he basically is like, you're a shame to men, like you are so eager to, like, be gay, and
he's like, when are you just gonna come out already? Yeah. Like, keeps asking him that, and it's like, when are you gonna come out, Brent? Yeah,
Chaz Dean.
And
it's like, he's so repulsively insecure and just and like. Ari,
so he's not funny.
He's just not funny at all. And it's just, it's cruel.
And Ari is so beautiful and
so
hot.
Sweet.
And he's a true ally.
Yeah, he's very straight, but he's okay with gay people and, like, works at a gay bar and is, like, not at all, doesn't flinch at the idea of, you know, pouring drinks to a drag queen.
Yeah, like, it's not a big deal.
Ari's like, I love drag queens, they're the funniest people, I'm around them all the time. And Brent is just, he's like, he's like malfunctioning.
Yeah,
he can't handle
he's having a short circuit moment
because he so desperately wants to be okay like Ari is with sexuality, but there is something like, at first I was kind of like, let's not jump to the conclusions that Brent's just closet gay, and now I'm like, you were compensating so hard for something, like, you must have had some gay experience in the past.
Yeah,
it's just you've never
that you've never
it.
Been able to get over, and you still are ashamed of every day of your life.
Yeah.
Or you're closeted gay, or both, but like, something has gone down. Like, what you're seeing is like a damaged
man,
human being,
specifically a damaged male,
cis male,
toxic masculinity. He is so threatened by the idea of even a whisper of gayness.
Yeah.
Like a fucking...
Like, it thinks it's gonna, like, rub off on him.
Yeah, he's, like, gay panic 101.
Yeah, like, he's a horrible person.
He would, like, hurt someone, I think, if they were... I don't know.
I think so.
But, so he starts...
He's shaming Ari, and meanwhile, Parnos tells Mike that he gets to plan Pride.
And it's a really big deal for Mike. Because
Mike takes it really seriously.
He does, and he's so sweet. And he's like, you know, I just came out as bi in the last, like, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I was always with women, so now I'm kind of like...
He's finally just started, like, hanging out with men, as he puts it, so, like, dating or sleeping with men.
Yeah.
He's pretty newly out to his family.
He says,
so it's a big deal for him. He lies too to Parnos.
Yeah,
he says he's planned many prides,
and he's like, I've never actually been to Pride.
I love that his first pride is a fictional pride thrown at Lindsay Lohan's beach house.
I told you, I think it's felt a little like reductive VPR, because you know how Pride is like,
yeah,
Christmas for mm-hmm. Vanderpump Rules. Like, it just kind of felt like they were copying a little.
What's wild, and we kind of both noticed this during Pride and leading up to it, is that neither Lindsay nor Panos talks about their sexuality in the scheme of Pride and what Pride, like, means to them. And they are, like, the most influential, like the first and second most influential people on this show that probably should speak to Pride.
Yeah. Lindsay was in a 4-year relationship with a woman.
Yeah.
Like she was kind of the first it girl to like
be a lesbian.
To like, because now it seems like it's just so like,
it's like par
for the course now. Yeah. But Lindsay, whether she realizes it or not, was sort of radical in that way. Like she just kind of broke the mold and was just like, yeah, she didn't even explain it. She was like, just with Samantha Ronson. Yeah. And it was awesome and like obviously toxic and codependent, but it was really, I thought, kind of major.
Yielded some amazing paparazzi videos that you should YouTube if you want to see Lindsay
crying
outside of Samantha's house and like screaming and wailing at 6 a.m. like getting home from the club. Yeah.
Telling her drunk friend to like leave. And, mm-hmm. Oh my God.
It's Lindsay in peak terror.
But she was just kind of unabashedly just queer. And I feel like she was more open. Like even after they broke up, she was like, I'm open to men and women. Like she was more.
Has she really like said explicitly?
Yeah. She did a video for Funny or Die where she did like a fake eHarmony dating profile. Yeah, yeah. And it was really cute. And she was like, I'm open to men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So she was way more open about it. And then something happened in the last like 10 years where she's.
Well, do you think with now her being like.
Yeah. I mean, she was
faith changing. That might have something to do with like.
Well, she lives in Dubai and I don't think they're cool with gay people there.
Yeah.
She's around Russian people a lot. Like she was in Russia for a while. Like I think she's just.
We forgot.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, Russia is not. She's not like around the most pride friendly communities, no. Probably.
I mean, I don't think she like hates gay people, but I just feel like she.
Doesn't identify anymore.
Yeah. I mean, she's just. And she was on Howard Stern recently and they asked her about it and she said, me and Samantha were more like best friends. And I'm like, you guys were
lovers.
Lovers.
You lived together.
It's just confusing.
You kissed.
She got her like a restraining order against you. Or allegedly.
Did she?
I think there was some, or like she wasn't allowed near the Ronson family. Like they banned her or something.
Can you imagine if your sibling started dating Lindsay Lohan and then you had to like deal with her at family events and like
especially that
holidays?
The coolest family of all time.
Yeah. Like, what would you do?
I don't know.
That would be really hard. I mean, I would be excited about it because it would be like a lot of drama, but I also would hate it because it would be a lot of drama.
It'd be like one family gathering where I'd be morbidly curious and then I would be
yeah.
Like, it's,
then I'd be like, this has to end. Like, you have to break up.
But I was a little, it's just weird that, and Panos is obviously gay, and he's never once said that he was gay.
Panos is, at one point in some of his talking heads, he's wearing what looks to be a wedding band, and I'm like, is he married?
He's never explicitly said I'm gay.
No.
Which is, I mean, maybe he's not.
He could not be.
Or maybe he's just not out. Like
he could be just asexual.
Yeah, which I could buy.
There, when in that first scene, I thought that Panos was only wearing like an oversized shirt with no pants,
like a toddler at the pool.
Yeah, and I was like, "Wow, I love his beach attire." But then I saw that he was wearing little shorts underneath. But I really like to think of him like his fashion. Also, when like Gloria Darling arrives. Parnos is wearing like a full turban of some sort, like a khaki colored turban. He changed into a head wrap to welcome the drag queen to Low End Beach House.
Yeah, he really confuses me, and I'm not saying he has to like, he doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to be anything, but
he doesn't owe it to anyone but himself.
But it would be, I would like, especially if they're really emphasizing how they really want to bring pride to the beach. It's never been there before. Like, they're just making pride for themselves.
Yeah.
Why not talk about it?
And also, like, Mykonos is,
very
like,
gay.
A huge gay destination. So, let's talk about that, too. It was just weird.
Yeah, they're just really confusing.
Lindsay gets on a microphone. She goes into pure tyrant mode.
Oh, yeah.
Because so she is holding a microphone. We don't know where it came from.
She's at a cabana with these random nerds.
Yeah, I guess it's like it's one kind of nerdy guy and then two what I think are hot gay guys or something.
And Kayla's already on her bad
around.
Side and she's just like texting her dad.
But it's just another day at Lohan Beach House, which means no one works. They just stand around and like text and drink all day while Lindsay like lurks and like stares in her like cabana next to her beehive.
So as Kayla is texting on the floor, which is a no-no for anyone who's worked in service industry, you don't do that. I've gotten reamed out for it. Lindsay gets on a fucking microphone and goes, attention, attention, everyone. Kayla is texting on the floor and that's not okay. And just fucking berates her.
Yeah. And she's like, can you get back to work or do something? Then she says, Kayla is useless.
Yep.
Then she is just like fully going, like coming for Kayla publicly. Yeah.
It's like Jonestown.
Yeah.
Like Jim Jones just on.
When he was like, drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Now.
Just yelling at everyone. But he would just do that routinely.
Yeah.
Like, it's like in North Korea, how like Kim Jong-un just blares on the.
Gets on and then like talks to people.
Intercom on street corners.
Lindsay is full Putin in this moment. Yeah.
I feel like Putin.
Give me a microphone.
So
she's like shaming Kayla. Meanwhile, Mike is planning pride, which just means that he writes like balloons down on a piece of paper and then hands it to the actual planner of pride.
But Mike, we get some insight into he's really struggling.
He's having it rough because he just came out. He basically like had to promise his dad that he wouldn't act too gay on the show.
It's like, you can be gay, just don't act on it kind of thing. And he's from Jersey. He's from like a big Italian Catholic family. So he has a really hard time reconciling his attraction to men with his conservative parents. He's really nervous that being part of Pride is going to cause, you know, shockwaves at home.
Mm-hmm.
He's choreographing a dance with Gabby.
We cut to them practicing in a studio.
Where that studio is, I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe it's back in New York.
But they are fully ready to perform, and Mike is about to have, like, discover what pride means to him.
Yeah.
Father be damned.
Fuck you, Dad. So Lindsay, on the flip side, Lindsay randomly... Two young children show up to the...
Two innocent children.
Named Georgie and Truman.
And Lindsay...
We find out that they're her godchildren.
What adult in their right mind would give birth to two beautiful children and say, you know what, if anything were to happen to me, God forbid, the one person that I would want to take care of these children for the rest of their lives is Lindsay Lohan.
Never underestimate the power of fame. And how it can make someone want to associate with it, no matter who they are.
Like, Lindsay is unfit. She can barely care for herself. Like, her mental health is like any given day. Like, it's a fucking roller coaster.
Yeah.
She also is like...
How'd she get both of them?
I don't know. I mean, I guess like the line of thinking is that they're going to need each other more than they need Lindsay. So let's just keep them together with Lindsay so that they can actually help each other survive.
You know, Parnos is going to take care of them.
Yeah.
Like Lindsay.
Lindsay's going to drive them in her Mini Cooper over to Parnos's house and say like, go knock. She's like, we're going to do ding dong ditch. So go not ding, ring his doorbell. And then when they get out of the car, she's going to speed off and never speak to any of them ever again.
So that was a shocker, but we find out the reason she brought the children here is because she wants to use them as a barometer of, like,
she
bullshit
goes,
meter.
As innocent as children are, is how she starts her sentence, which, like, when you're starting a sentence like that, it's not going to go anywhere good. Like, your line of thinking is already
skewed,
warped. She's like, children don't lie. So I want to get their take on what's working here, what's not working here.
It's children like, don't lie, so I'm going to sit them down and ask them and use them to sniff out any weakness with my VIP ambassadors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
So Georgie and Truman have to sit at a table with Parnos and Lindsay.
They're like terrified.
And she calls Mike over to like pimp him for information on who's here for the right reason. Basically, this is just like a Kayla witch hunt, and mm-hmm. she's trying to do anything in her power to prove that Kayla shouldn't be here anymore.
And she's using the children as a weird, unnecessary prop.
She goes, Kayla is she's a mean girl, and looks at Georgie and she's like, you know, mean girl. And then Georgie kind of like smiles because like, she's like, oh, this is the thing that my godmother talks about all the time. Yeah. Mean girls.
She's a mean girl, right? And Georgie's like,
it's better to mm-hmm. just like agree. Like, yeah. You don't argue with Aunt Lindsay.
She's like sipping her Shirley Temple and is like,
mm-hmm.
And then she tells Mike, she's like, Kayla, I just think she's, and Mike's like, yeah, you know, we have a bond. Like, I've really gotten to know her. I think she's like a really good person, and I don't want to say anything bad about her. And Lindsay goes, well, I think she's useless.
Yeah. And then Lindsay is like, there also is a point where people are cussing around these children, which made me feel uncomfortable.
The whole thing, like, where are their parents?
The whole thing was inappropriate.
Also, kids don't need to, you don't need to,
there's no room for children in this show. Children should not be around. Yeah, and it's weird that there have been so many children around.
And also, you don't need to, like, kids don't need to know about this
adult
kind of dynamics.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of just very inappropriate. It's preserve their innocence a little.
And you're not, like, helping them learn anything by, like, sitting here and talking shit about a girl that you don't like to them.
They want to go take like a noodle out and like float.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk.
They want to build like a sandcastle.
They're literally five.
You're forcing them to sit at a business meeting.
Yeah. So.
And Lindsay's also creating a false narrative.
Yeah.
Like she's basically like, we see how her mind works. Like when she wants to achieve something or do something, but she knows that she like can't just do it out of nowhere. She crafts like a totally lie-filled story to then justify
her bizarre and deranged reasoning.
Yeah, which is that she's like weirdly jealous of like Kayla.
She thinks because Kayla said on the yacht that she has a loving boyfriend and that like she thinks that Kayla is here Basically, she's jealous of Kayla because Kayla has a boyfriend that works at the hotel that her ex-boyfriend runs. Yeah. I think that's really what it is.
I think that's what it is, too.
She's completely jealous.
And that Kayla's trying to, like...
Steal her show. It's so funny because later that comes up that she's just here for her own show. Lindsay, at the end of the day, is just so
terrified
and just wants all the attention and just can't handle... She's so paranoid that someone there is going to steal her spotlight.
And it's also, like... Lindsay, this show is called Lindsay Lohan's Beach House. Like, it's your show.
Well, okay. So my theory is that Lindsay wanted to be this businesswoman. She wanted to be like an LVP, like grand dame, and have a soap opera about her employees and her staff. And she wanted all that drama. But I think when push comes to shove, Lindsay cannot handle if the attention and camera is not on her. So even, I think once they came and she realized, oh wait, now I actually have to be their boss,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have their own micro dramas and the camera, you know what I mean? I think she realized, no, I just want it to be about me.
Yeah.
She can't, she is so jealous of her staff that they're getting any airtime that she just is slowly getting rid of all them.
Yeah, but I think you're right on that. And I think also she cannot actually work. I don't think that she can work.
No.
Like, I don't think that she can, like, show up to her, like, call times for the show or do even the things that need to be done for a reality show to be a successful thing that runs properly.
No, it's just, it's really, like...
Like, I don't think, I truly just think, like, she cannot do any sort of work, like can't show up on time, like just cannot get it together. It's like a commitment. I don't know what
aversion.
It is. It's aversion.
She has, yeah, she's just a classic narcissist. Like they need to, all narcissists have to have an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And this week it's Kayla. Like last week it was May and Jules. Like she just has to have someone that she's against. Mm-hmm. And then once they're gone, she has to have a new person.
And I think it's easier when it's a woman.
Yeah, she's totally like, can't handle other women's success.
And, no.
Yeah.
So
cut to Mike.
Mike.
Back at the house. Mike is.
Oh, this was a sad moment.
This was really sad. He calls his dad and we hear his dad like on the phone and he's like, Pride's coming up. They put me in charge. I'm planning a dance, like all this stuff. And his dad goes, don't make a fool out of yourself.
Which is just like.
And that was just like a punch to the gut for me. Cause like, I know I've been there and like, it's just, it sucks. Like,
yeah.
When you're...
It's like, be gay, but not... Don't be too gay.
And he was like, you'd be proud of me, Dad. I haven't
done anything. Like, yeah, it's like...
I think that's why he's... I think that's... Because remember me and you were like, why is he not gone on Grindr?
Yeah, why isn't he... Then it makes sense. He doesn't want to like...
Embarrass his family.
I know, but I'm just like... I just want Mike to like live his truth in a gay bar and like have a makeout with someone that's not... Alex
or Jules
and just like really live, like get to come, you know.
If he wants to do that, he shouldn't be on a TV show.
No, he especially shouldn't be on this TV show,
not
either.
This one, but when you're, his connection to his sexuality right now is so tenuous that I think being on a reality show is probably not the best.
It's move. Not the look.
I don't think he should have done this.
No,
but
he's like fighting for bisexual rights,
which I really appreciate. Which I'm really into. And yeah, and he has a fight with Alex about.
They have a huge blowout, which is really kind of one sided because Mike is just blowing out at Alex, who uses like unfortunate terms.
But he was.
But I don't think he was coming from like a place of trying to be like
mean,
bullying, or mean.
Alex really cares about Mike.
You think so?
I do. I think Alex is sort of sees him as like a little brother who he wants. Alex
says he doesn't want it. He would never date anyone who's bisexual.
Yeah, he's like, it's, and Mike says, why not? And he goes, because it's just, we don't have the same sexuality.
Sexual preferences.
And he goes,
well,
yes, you do. And he's like, no, it's different, which there's truth and false to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Alex,
I feel like
really
the way Alex was going about this whole conversation was like problematic because it's like, I don't know.
There's
he
some
called him.
Erasure.
Yeah, he called Mike weird and like then said he was acting like a little bitch. And it's just like, okay, like let's not go down that road. But like,
well, Alex
stay
thinks
on task.
Alex thinks that Mike is just gay.
Yeah.
And that he's he's using bisexuality. And that's like kind of the age old misconception that a lot of gay men have with a, you know,
they, that like there is no such thing as bisexuality. If you're a man, you're just gay.
Or if you're bi, you're confused and like you're just, you're not accepting it.
But I feel like it only goes that way for men. Like people don't think that about women.
Well, that's
people
what are Gabby like, says.
Yeah. Like, and there's an amazing, so Mike like screams in Alex's face.
I thought they were going to fight.
I thought they were going to fight too.
They keep saying
May
dude.
Is lurking
in her t-shirt.
In her t-shirt that's pulled over her entire body with just like a glass of wine saying nothing, which is great. The less May, the better. And then once the fight kind of like simmers down, Gabby goes to like console Mike, who's really keyed up and upset. And she's talking about like, if you're a woman and you're bi, people just treat you like a sex object. And then Mike goes, I've been a sex object my whole life, dude.
Amazing.
He is a sex object. He's so cute.
He is cute, but like, what a statement.
What a statement.
His whole life.
Dude.
I'm sure. Alex and, yeah.
I love, I've been a sex object my whole life, dude.
The whole fight, they kept saying dude. Alex and Mike. It was a little like.
It was a dude fight.
It was like, shut up. But, yeah, Mike, and Mike says, everyone in this house doesn't, no one takes me seriously. And he's like, I don't exist to you all. And Gabby's like, I'm bisexual. You exist to me.
Yeah.
We have to support each other. But I mean, it was like a really raw.
It was a moment where bisexuals could unite.
It felt like Mike wasn't talking about what was happening. I felt like he was speaking to a larger issue in his life that he feels invisible.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely, like, we got a glimpse of his, like, true pain, too, yeah. Where he was just like, I want to just, like, have friends who see me and, like, connections with other people who, like, see me and don't make fun of me. And I really, like, I love him for being vulnerable like that.
And he's like, I'm never going to find someone. Like, he is a little, like, has this sort of dour outlook.
Yeah.
And Gabby's like, that's not true. You're so young. Like, you've only been out for, like, this long. Like, you will find people.
Yeah.
You just have to be patient. And he's like, no.
It's going
to
be okay.
I don't know. I think, yeah. I mean, to be very honest, at first, I was like, he seems, and Alex says that he seems more sexually attracted to men, but more emotionally attracted to women.
Yeah.
And I kind of got that vibe too, where it was like, it seems like he's wants to like fuck men, but mm-hmm. he can't be emotional with them. So he sees like Jules, like someone like Jules, but I don't know. I think I believe him,
mm-hmm.
but it, do you kind of get what I'm saying?
No,
I'm not bi racing.
No, no,
totally,
no, and I don't think you are.
I don't think you are.
Totally
valid.
I think
that he feels.
He
just seems to not really know what he wants.
Yeah, I think that he probably, I feel like it's very confusing when you can't be really truly like out and yourself around your family. So that's going to cause everything to be kind of confusing because you're the people who you're like blood related to, who are such a part of your identity. And like, if you can't be yourself around them, then it's going to be hard to figure out like what your deal is.
Yeah, you need that baseline unconditional love.
And also, he's like newly out, so he might end up finding that he does like want to fuck men more. He's like, his scale of bisexuality like may lie like leaning more towards one side than the other. But I believe if he says he's bisexual, I believe him. And we've seen him like make out with Jules.
Yeah,
he said
sure.
They were going on dates and holding hands.
I think Alex was, I think he needed to like check himself a little and
I just think it's like kind of problematic for a gay guy. I don't know. The whole like I wouldn't date a bisexual person really like bothered me.
Me too. I would.
Yeah.
Like
I'd be like, hell, that's all I want to date is a bisexual guy.
Yeah. I mean I don't think it matters, and I think it like it just shows that there is a lot of work to be done in the LGBT community with the B being okay with.
You have to like accept that some people are bi, and it doesn't mean that they're like 50-50 exactly into men or women. It just means that like
they like both.
Literally being bisexual means that you're sexually attracted to men and you're sexually attracted to women.
Yeah.
And you get to decide what those percentages are, but you're honoring the fact that you feel both ways, and that's it.
We're not it's even not decide. Like, you just you're just acting on what feels right.
Yeah, like I'm just saying, like you have agency yeah. over your own sexuality and are owning that, and it's actually like a brave thing to do rather than be like, oh, I must just be a lesbian or I must just be gay or yeah. like I'm straight. I get, but it's like you can there can be a lot of nuance, and it doesn't just necessarily mean one thing. It's like a more, it's definitely a more like sexually fluid kind of gray area, but. It's like fine. It's, people get such a twist about bisexuals. And I know. It's just like
they get so hung up.
I know.
And it's like just open your mind a little.
Yeah. And be like, wow, it's cool to know this person that like wants to fuck all sorts of people.
Yeah. And I think that's I truly think that's what Mike is trying to say.
Yeah.
But no one except Gabby gets it.
Mm-hmm.
But so
Gabby, our bisexual hated queen that we used to not like and now stan.
I stan Gabby.
Yeah, I'm in. Lindsay, then.
Oh my God. So
everyone, I guess the next day is Mike, trying to have like a beautiful dinner.
They're having like a day off. Mike.
They're trying to laugh, feel free. Mike and Alex have squashed their beef.
Well, not yet.
Oh.
They're still gingerly. Like,
they're still. Oh.
They're like little kitties trying to like walk around each other. Alex is like, whatever, man. I'm just like not going to deal with that today.
Yeah. Alex is doing the thing that I hate where it's like when you don't honor the drama that went down and you just decide to like pretend it? Like it didn't ever happen. You're just it. Like fine, which is so confusing and weird. Yeah. And Mike looks like he's been crying all night and he's kind of like puffy and like on the defensive.
He and Gabby like slept in bed together and he cried in her arms all night.
Yeah.
So they're having like a team dinner at as dusk is falling over Mykonos.
And yeah. Brent asks,
he goes, who here has had sex with everyone aside in the house aside from me and Sarah?
And then Ari, my fucking prince.
King of Revolver.
I've jacked off in the house.
Everyone laughs and laughs and laughs. And then as they're all laughing, you hear military percussion.
And a motorcade, like a police escort, shows up.
Somehow they don't notice it.
They don't notice it or hear it.
Lindsay's wearing a...
a headscarf with a baseball hat, like, up on top of it.
Yeah.
Driving top down her
Mini Cooper
convertible.
With Parnos in the front seat.
Lindsay literally looks like a dictator.
She's driving. She's like the dictator of Mykonos.
She is.
She's driving.
She came into Greece while it was going through a financial crisis and like took over the government and now is about to be like in power.
She's the president of Mykonos.
She's the president of Greece.
She wants to cause a and have Mykonos break off and be its own nation state.
That she rules with an iron fist.
She comes in and somehow they don't notice this motorcade and she sneaks into the house with Parnos and she's like...
she's rustling around.
She goes, I like to keep my staff on their toes. So she goes upstairs and they're investigating and they go room to room and they're like, they see like open alcohol containers, wine bottles.
It's like you forced 10 people to live in close quarters together while they film a reality show. Like... no one is keeping their shit clean in that kind of environment. You're not like giving them their own room and like space. Like they literally live out of their suitcases on a day-to-day basis.
I think they could go home any day.
Yeah. And then Panos is looking around and at one point sees like some scarves in the corner and he just goes, the fabrics. He's really bothered by the fabrics. Lindsay goes and sees like two pills and like bottles of booze on someone's nightstand. She goes, you can't sleep with this next to a bed. Trust me. Okay, it's like, okay, they're not you, Lindsay. Like, maybe you can't sleep with, like, pills and alcohol next to your bed because you'll just take all of them. But, like, they might be able to just, like... it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
There's also, like, a dent in the wall. And Lindsay goes, fire in the hole! Fire in the hole! And then she walks outside and she goes, what's up, bitches?
Yeah.
And everyone at the table suddenly freezes.
Terrified.
Terrified.
Lindsay looks like shit.
She looks like hell.
Whatever treatment that she had to get her bloat under control and like whatever facials that like lingered and kept her looking fresh have worn off.
The meatbees have taken it.
They've stripped her of her beauty and they said, go find us a new fresh blood or else you cannot be beautiful again.
Oh my God.
And then feed us a steak.
Feed us a sirloin.
Give me a sirloin now.
But at one point, also before she goes outside, she goes, Oprah taught me that you should always keep your room clean. And I'm like, Lindsay, like your room probably looks like
a fucking hellhole.
Chernobyl.
Yeah. Like, there is no way Lindsay's shit is clean. No. We've seen the way she lives.
But I love name dropping Oprah one more time.
Any chance to talk about Oprah, Lindsay will take it.
So she comes outside. She holds court.
Oprah's taught you nothing. You've literally learned nothing.
Zero.
You have moved to a foreign country where you can do drugs off the radar and not get called out. And like, you don't work. Like, you're clearly fucking this job up. Like, you've learned nothing from anyone or anything in your life, except maybe the meat bees.
The meat bees are the only teachers you have. And at one so she comes outside. She goes, your rooms are a mess. We're not paying you to do this. Like, you're representing our brand. Like, how dare you?
She's like, I should fire you all right now.
She goes, and then Kayla immediately, Kayla is just like at the end of
Kayla's
her rope.
Done.
She goes, oh, so now I'm going to get fired because my room is a little messy. And Lindsay is just immediately like, no,
talk to me like that. And like gets up and tries to like square off with Kayla, who's Kayla's now like taking no prisoners.
Kayla goes, I think Lindsay lost her marbles a while ago during the Parent Trap, which I was like, wow, she's right.
Yeah. Kayla's coming for Lindsay, but I'm like, where's the lie in anything she's saying?
So she presses she's back like, on Lindsay again.
We do our jobs here, like, and you're gonna, like, why does this matter? This has nothing to do with our jobs. Lindsay. And Lindsay says, you can't have a messy room and, like, work for me.
Lindsay also says, she goes, oh, like, I should talk to you? Like, you've been here for 4 days? Meanwhile, Kayla's been here for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
She's like, you've been here for 4 days? And then Kayla presses on her again, and then Lindsay stands up and like starts to walk out. She's like, I can't.
She wants her own show.
She wants her own show. And I was, again, I'm like, that's what it is.
That's what it is. When you are getting in a confrontation with like a valid argument and you're going to be exposed as a fraud and a terrible boss, your only option is to walk away, because otherwise you are going to get like aired out.
And then she sits back down and she goes, you're fired.
Yeah.
She goes, pack your things, get out. And then Kayla starts to like maybe be like, really? And then Lindsay goes, I don't even know why you're still here. You're fired. Pack your bags, get out. And everyone is frozen in terror.
Yeah. Their fear is written across their faces. Kayla leaves, and as she's leaving, just goes, all right, Lindsay, keep doing the drugs that you do. And then bounces.
And everyone is silent. And then Lindsay doesn't even like...
She doesn't deny it.
She's like...
She was an easy thing to come for, me and my drugs. She was, life is hard.
Yeah.
She basically says like, yeah, I do a ton of drugs still.
She goes, way to throw the past in my face. And then Janita goes, yeah, that was shitty. I'm like, Janita,
shut up.
Shut up. Like, what do you... No, this is not okay. Everyone, like, they're all...
I love, you can like hit someone at Lohan Beach House. You can... like terrorize women, like pour clothes on their head and like
fat.
Tell them they're fat, call them twos,
but if you
body shame them, you can bully and gay shame any men,
but the minute you step against the Lindsay for a valid reason,
you're done.
You're enemy number one.
Yeah, you're get out. Meanwhile, Lindsay also, like, she has been up for like days partying, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like, her immune system has turned on her. She has like a raging cold sore. She's like, she has seen better days. Like, she is a wreck at this point.
She also goes, bye Felicia, bye Felicia.
Like, making jokes that are 4 years old.
And then Gabby at Kayla's upstairs packing her suitcase, like cackling. Mm-hmm. Kayla's fully insane.
Yeah, Kayla's like gone.
She's gone mad.
She's one flew over the cuckoo's nest, like insane. She's like, this is what I'm getting fired for. And it's like, just like not giving a fuck anymore.
Gabby goes, well, you know, I'm a little sad right now because Kayla and I have really bonded. And then Lindsay immediately goes, stop defending someone you don't fucking know.
Yeah. She goes, why do you want to defend her? Why do you want to protect her?
You don't even know her.
Protect and Gabby's her? Like, it's like, what are you talking about?
But also Gabby's like, she doesn't say it, but you can tell she's like, I do know her. That's why I'm sad.
Yeah.
We all know her. She's been here for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Lindsay's like, telling her that someone she knows, she doesn't know.
Yeah.
And they're all just like agreeing with it.
She's gaslighting everyone. Yeah.
Stop defending someone you don't know. And then you see her, Kayla leaves. She shoves all her shit in a van and she goes, be true to yourself, bitches. Fully cray cray.
Fully crazy. If you're shouting, if your last words to a group of people when you're leaving, like you're saying bye to people, and instead of being like, bye, oh my God, love you, miss you. Be true to yourself, bitches.
She doesn't even hug
get in
them.
A van. No, she just leaves. And she flies, packs in like 2 minutes.
She flies off into the night, like yelling out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see a cut of Lindsay leaving the house, and she goes, and you just hear her
Lindsay's
off the cuff.
At one point, she's running through the house with the camera trying desperately to keep up with her. And she's like,
and then she goes, you just hear her go, I'm a New Yorker. I don't play that way.
The fuck?
Oh, like, now you're an American? Now you are?
It's like, really confusing.
You pick and choose. So, yeah, that was pretty mind-numbing.
That was insane.
True insanity. They all probably went to bed crying that night.
Yeah, like, nothing makes sense. And now it's like you can't even, like, what's crazy, too, is, like, they probably can't even have conversations about Lindsay when the cameras are around.
Oh, yeah,
because then they'll get in trouble.
They all tell Lindsay that Kayla had been talking about her.
Yeah.
So they all, it's like a tyrannical state. Like, mm-hmm. It's like when the Nazis would have the kids like spy on their parents.
Yeah. So there are no,
I just compared Lindsay to the Nazis.
She's like insane.
Yeah.
There are no guidelines of like what you're supposed to do. No straight up expectations.
You can't talk any. You can't say
anything negative.
You will be found out if you do.
Yeah.
Because you know there's like a coworker code.
Yeah.
Where you can like talk shit about your boss.
Mm-hmm.
But in this world, even that is forbidden.
You have to wait until the whole crew goes home, and then if you want to talk. You have to like make sure a camera is not on your face.
Yeah.
Or like cover your mouth and then be like, Lindsay's fucking crazy. Like, what the fuck?
You have to like go down to the highway and like walk by like the side of the road.
Yeah. And you need to be near cars. Like, make sure you're out of any room that could be bugged. And then like in a loud zone where you can like fully one-on-one talk about Lindsay. But Janita has been turned. Like, I feel like we're living in the faculty where, like, remember when Janita was missing that day?
Yeah.
And then she, like, came back. And now she's, like, taking Lindsay's side.
It's like the movie Disturbing Behavior.
Yeah, that's the one.
Where they all, like, become, like, you know, model citizens
mm-hmm.
overnight.
Yeah.
And it's because they have, like, a chip in their head.
Yep.
So the next day, later that night, Mike tells Brent, he's like, hey, because you were being a fucking homophobic motherfucker earlier and like shaming everyone, and you've routinely
made everyone in this house feel unsafe.
And it's because you have really bad insecurity about yourself.
Toxic masculinity.
Which I was like, hell yes, Mike. He goes, I'm going to make you wear drag at Pride. And Brent's kind of like,
all right.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like putting up more of a fight, but Brent was actually like really excited.
Oh, I was saying, I feel like Brent has been, he's like, yeah, you know, you're gonna, we can help you figure out like a look. And in my head, I'm like, Brent's probably dreamed this up.
He's been dreaming of this day for years.
He just needed someone to ask him to do it.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it was like, quote unquote, for a professional reason,
mm-hmm.
he can fully embrace it.
He loves it.
So I was like, thank God he's been set free.
So Mike tells Brent to like go on and get his look together.
And Brent's like, okay.
He scampers off
yeah,
to like so go to the wig happy. Closet yeah. and then like luxuriate amongst like dresses and try on bras.
And the next day it's Pride.
It's officially Pride on
one
beach in Mykonos.
There's a sad unicorn float like in the waves.
Yeah. The unicorns are just like floating out to sea. There's a lot of balloons, and like the balloons look like, you know when balloons get like that kind of ruddiness after being blown around in the wind, they're like not fresh looking.
Yeah.
They're like, nothing's fresh. The winds are going like 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, you always take note of the hurricane force winds.
Literally, there are palm trees like bending halfway over from being blown so hard in the windy beach of Mykonos.
Yeah.
Lindsay literally built a club in a wind tunnel.
It is like,
it's not hospitable.
Astonishing. Mike and Alex make up and yeah. They're like, basically like, we're not going to see eye to eye about this, but like, just let me be.
But like, it's pride.
It's pride. And we'll put aside our differences and be on the same flag with each other.
Yeah.
And Alex is like, okay.
And Lindsay arrives again in a Mini Cooper.
Alpha number one.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, I like how Alex is like the first one to be like, Lindsay changes her outfits a lot.
Lindsay also has like scrapes on her body.
She has a scrape down her spine,
mm-hmm.
which is
a certain dark truth. She's bruised within an inch of her lap. Like, she literally, I feel like falls down the stairs on a nightly basis. Also, there's one shot in this whole episode of Lindsay that makes no sense. It's when, like, Panos is talking about Lindsay, and there's, like, a Beyonce documentary-style shot of Lindsay just, like, sitting on a roof at night in Mykonos in, like, a sequin dress with her hair, like, blowing around, and she, like, walks off camera.
She made them put that in.
Yeah.
She was like, that's
artsy. Put that in.
She probably, that was like the one thing she was remembering about the season. She was like, make sure that shot is in at some point.
She said, like, they gave her the show to watch, and they were like, okay, you need to watch this, like, series over the next, like, week and give us notes. And then a week goes by, and they haven't heard from her. And then, like, 4 days later, they're so behind schedule, and they're just like desperately trying to get Lindsay's thoughts. Like, her managers and agents are contacting her, like trying to set up a conference call. Like, they can't get any feedback from Lindsay. The show needs to like air. They have to like move forward. And then finally they get Lindsay on the phone to give the notes, and her only note is,
there's one shot that I really like of myself. Please put it into the show somehow. Thank you.
And then that's it. So they just shoved it into this episode.
It's like I'm on like a trip with like my boyfriend or something, or he like takes some photos of me that I really want to like post, and I keep being like, or like with my friends, I'm like, can you send me that photo?
Will you send me that? Will you send it to me? Will you send it to me?
And then like an hour later, they have it, and I'm like, hey,
do you mind sending that to me?
And they're like, yes, and they airdrop it.
Just do like a shared album or something. Also, Lindsay is. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know what goes through her head.
She's out of her fucking mind.
She's out. She's fully out to lunch.
The whole pride thing is just like,
we think it's not even like Greece pride or Mykonos pride.
It's just Lohan Beach pride.
Yeah.
There's like maybe 30 people there.
There's a pan out of the entire club where you get to see the scope of the club itself. The fact that it is literally a roadway pull-off. It's surrounded by, like...
Bulldozers
and, like, chain-link fences.
There's one unicorn floating. The other one, I think, went out to sea.
Yeah, like a shark ate it. And then, like...
It's, like, half the crowd is film crew. The other half is, like...
Random
gays.
And no one is at the beach club.
No.
Like, you would think on their big pride celebration, the club would be, like, packed full of people.
Well, this is the episode of Lindsay's famous dance.
Yeah.
That we all
were obsessed danced
with.
In front of seven people.
And lit the internet on fire. And it looked like she was in front of a crowd of, like, 100.
Yeah.
There were maybe 20 people there.
It was not full.
Brent comes out in drag.
He looks kind of great.
He looks like a radical fairy. He's owning it, and I was actually, it made me appreciate him a little,
because
he was fully doing it up. I said he was, like, doing the drag blinks,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, drag when they have the eyelash. He was flipping his hair. Like,
he was into it.
He was into it. He was
gave
a good
it his
sport.
All, and I was happy about that.
He was being a really good sport. Panos was delighted.
Panos felt true joy when he saw Brent come out on the stage. He smiled like the most beautiful little cute Panos smile.
He was like,
he laughed and then just smiled and touched his face. And that's how you know Panos is having a fun time.
Lindsay was like, oh!
Yeah, Lindsay was tickled.
Everyone was tickled.
Then Mike and Gabby perform Rumors.
And it's really good. And Mike looked Very sexy.
Mike is sexy. You were wondering if he was a stripper.
I mean, he had Magic Mike moves. Like, he could be in Chippendale.
Mike is hot.
He should be in Chippendale.
He should.
Lindsay.
Lindsay goes.
Lindsay's rolling.
She's rolling. Like, the ecstasy, she's been kind of coming up. And then when rumor starts is when it starts to, like, hit. And she goes into her own performance of Rumors. Like, she does her own choreographed moves.
Yeah.
From the music video, I guess, that she shot 15 years ago or whatever.
You see her, like lip syncing.
She's lip syncing.
Her teeth are grinding.
Like, looking and, like, flicking her hair back. And, like, she's gone in. Like, you couldn't. You have to, like, snap your fingers in front of her face to get her out of that zone.
But at no point during this Pride celebration do they mention that it's Pride.
Yeah, there's never,
there's
like
rainbow balloons. They're in drag, but no one ever says, like, yay, like, we're proud to be standing with the LGBT community.
It's more about, like, we're proud to be Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, Gabby's like, I'm so happy we can incorporate
Lindsay into Pride, which is just like, what?
And then Lindsay goes up on stage and does
the dance,
you know, where she's, you've all seen the dance.
She's only half. And, like, the reason she's having so much fun is because this event is now about her. Like,
completely about her.
Like, it's, they just performed her song at Pride, and then she's going to get on stage, and then everyone, she does that thing I hate when people do this, where everyone, like, claps for you and wants you to do something, and the person getting all the attention is like, no, like, so embarrassed, like, and they're feigned, like, oh no, I'm not gonna do it, no,
feigned
and
humility.
Yeah, and it's just like, bitch, you literally were a child star. Like, this is your heroine.
Yeah,
is people, like, clapping for you,
you're like, inject this into your veins immediately.
Yeah, like, this, you love,
you're
nothing,
freebasing
more.
This right now, and we're
freebasing
watching
attention.
And she does, and then it's like, no, 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 and she goes right into, like, Vogue mode.
She does, like, the robot.
She does the whole, like, flip her hair down, like, from the video. They show that it was a meme, and it was spread around the world. And I don't know, this episode really bummed me out.
Whitewashing the fact that this is a person who is mentally unsound, on drugs, dancing in a way that's not like, it's not like fun dancing, like, she's living her best life, like, yes, queen, go off.
No,
it's,
it was like a Goya painting.
Yeah, this is like a horrific,
it's like Saturn eating its child.
Yeah, travesty of a moment, and it's all in the feet. I'm telling you, I looked at her feet. Her feet are, like, pointed, and she's wearing those little, like, jelly slippers, and she's kind of, like, slipping out of her little, like, snake shoes, and I was like, the feet are bad. Like, the feet tell everything you need to know.
She had serpent feet.
She has gone full serpent.
She is a serpent.
She slithered up to that stage. Panos grabbed her and was like, come with me, Lindsay. And, like, threw her up on the stage where she achieved her final form as a fucking serpent.
It was Pride that celebrated Lindsay Lohan.
It was a Pride celebrating her as a shapeshifter.
Pride, question mark? To what end? What are we proud about? We're proud about Lindsay's serpent feet.
We're proud about Rumors, that we learned the choreography to Rumors.
And then later, after the Pride celebration, at dusk, when everyone was walking home and leaving, Panos, with a leash around Lindsay's neck, walked her down the side of the highway as she slithered as a serpent.
Yeah.
She made, like, because she was rolling so hard. Panos was rolling too. And he walked
her. He's like, God, I love it when you turn snake. I love snake, Lindsay.
He walked her, like, he has a pet boa constrictor,
mm-hmm,
and he walks it on a leash, mm-hmm, and he made Lindsay replicate it, and that's how they went home that night.
He ties the little, like, a bow around the midsection of the snake with, like, a little rope, and that's how he, like, walks his snake, Lindsay.
And Lindsay was just going, psst. And that's how
she fully slithered off of the stage back to the villa. And then later that night, the bees called to her and said that they had taken Kayla, and that her youth and beauty would be restored by morning.
Oh my God.
Where's the DJ in all of this?
The witch. No, they had some, like, beefcake gay hot DJ named Ryan Keeney.
Yeah. But our queen, the skeleton with blue hair, is gone. She crawled back out to sea.
She's at war with the Meepies.
Yeah.
She's been at war with the Meepies.
So ever since they showed up, which was like a week before, she was like, this is my turf.
This is mine.
This is everything you see here is mine. And then the Meepies, obviously they're terrifying because they're Meepies.
They buzzed her away.
They buzzed her away. And so she's
back in the sea, like regenerating and thinking of her like plan of vengeance.
Yeah.
Of vengeance.
Yeah. She's going to come and take over. Like, meanwhile, there's like a full blown war of like the gods and nature are at war with one another. And the beach house is their battleground.
The creatures of the sea and the creatures of land.
Yeah.
The creatures of the avian.
There's going to be like
Aqua and Avia.
Gods and monsters, like, style face-off.
The lobster that was set free.
Yeah, the lobster that was set free, the DJ, are going to, like, come out of a tsunami wave and then battle
the meat
hordes of meat bees to the death. And Jules and Kayla, who are just, like, honey-covered, like, they're honeycomb people.
Oh, my God. I'm just imagining this Battle of Troy.
I'm imagining, too, and, like, everyone that's, like, hurt in the crossfire.
They're all
blood stains the waters of Lindsay Lohan's beach house that day. They're like bodies floating in the surf.
Yes, Lindsay says. Vengeance. She calls it revenge.
Revenge.
I will commit revenge.
She goes, Oprah taught me.
Oprah taught me that vengeance.
Then
is
vengeance
the only way.
Is the only way. She smokes cigs.
Yeah.
She goes, Oprah, they are warring again.
Later that night, she texted Oprah and said, I heard the meat bees. No context. Oprah just woke up. Oprah
screenshotted it.
Sent it to Gail.
And then Gail sent her like a
shrug emoji.
Shrug emoji.
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 Gail just went, meh.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
I'm excited for the DJ to make the triumphant return. Who will win between the meat bees of Cabana Six?
I think the Sea Witch will pull it off.
The Sea Witch, yeah, she has like,
I want her to win.
Years and hundreds of years on her side.
The Meepies have that, like,
they're just terrifying, like, because they eat meat. They're little bees that eat meat. It's an abomination.
But they don't have staying power.
They don't. They're only powerful all together, but take them apart and one can be easily squashed.
Sea Witch will.
The Sea Witch is going to go visit an oracle deep down in Hades to see like what like the cards have in store for her versus the meat bees.
The Oracle of Delphi.
The Oracle of Delphi. Trouble's brewing, unbeknownst to Mike.
I don't know how. I think there's only two episodes left.
How are they going to wrap this up? What are we going to say, like, everyone has learned? Is Lindsay going to fire some people, but then
I hope
some people are going into season two?
I hope it ends with this, everyone getting fired.
Yeah.
I don't hope it ends like that, but I feel like it will. And then it just ends with Lindsay, like, Caligula style, just, like, in her villa, just rocking back and forth, and Panos just sitting there like, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay's like, I did it.
Yeah.
Don't you see? It is my club.
And then just like a long shot of Lindsay like walking along the beach with like red ocean. So, and then you know that the battle has been waged and lives have been lost, but the beach house still remains.
No, I think it's just going to end with Parnos like walking into Lindsay's room and Lindsay's just smoking cigarettes and like taking selfies and everyone is gone. She fired everyone and mm-hmm. Panos is just like, now what?
And Lindsay
just looks at him and goes,
she goes, do you have any E?
He's like, yeah. They just blow a line of ecstasy.
What if it ends with like a huge, I want it to end with like a tsunami. Or like inferring that a tsunami like is going to hit.
Or it's Atlantis too.
Yeah.
And Mykonos just sinks. The Mykonos Beach Club just sinks. Because it's built on unstable sand.
What if it's just a sinkhole and the whole club gets swallowed into a sinkhole? And Lindsay and Panos are just standing on the edge. And they're like, and then Lindsay's like, do you have an E?
Lindsay's like, do you want to go to Dubai? And he's like, yeah. And
she goes,
like,
let's go.
I am so sick of Mykonos.
I hate it here. Anything could happen.
Anything could
literally
happen on Mykonos. Literally.
Anything could happen.
We're not kidding.
I'm not joking.
I can't
so
even
think about.
Think about it.
Think about what you want to happen and tweet us.
Think about what you've done.
Think about what you've done. Think about your life choices that led you here to this podcast.
And Google Meet Bees.
Google Meet Bees, and you'll see for yourself the horrors of nature.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. You've listened to another episode of Lohan Island, a Sex Unique podcast spinoff. And if you like it, show your love.
Share it.
Share it. Tell your friends, family. Give me a 5-star rating and leave a glowing review, because every little rating counts.
Follow me on eCario.
Follow me at Lars Marie.
Tweet us.
Tweet us.
Tweet us Meat Bees.
Tell us your thoughts about Meat Bees.
Share your Meat Bees stories.
Yeah.
And
justice for victims of Meat Bees. Have Meat Bees ever eaten your nachos? Feel free to reach out. And that's it.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.